Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas, where the UFC is coming, we are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show we talk about what you think about, but maybe afraid to voice. Do not worry. We will voice it for you. We talk about everything on It's Time. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, NFL, UFC, film, TV, politics, you name it. We talk about it. It's No Holds Barred Radio, folks. I'm here with my co-host, my producer, TJ DeSantis. TJ, we can't see you. We can hear you.
I'm the man behind the curtain. You're probably going to get the best ratings ever that no one has to look at my dumb face.
There we go. Well, you said it. I didn't. I never would say that anyway. So it's all good. I missed the bald dome, TJ. Okay. So
we're working on it before the end of the show.
Well, we've got an exciting show today. We have a lot to talk about. A lot has happened this week in the news from the week that was. We definitely have to cover some subjects. But before we do that, and we'll cover a few of them with us, gentlemen, it's time to bring on, standing 6'4" and 7/8 inches tall, weighing in at 255 pounds or whatever the hell he wants. He's the MVP of the Pro Bowl. He's the master of defense. He's the player for the Las Vegas Raiders, bringing on our champion, Max Crosby. Max, how are you?
How are we doing, brother? I appreciate the intro. Always.
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. I appreciate you, Max. I got to tell you, you know, we become friendly over the last year or two. You know, you come to all the UFCs, you come with your beautiful girl, you sit there, you have fun, you're going crazy. And you're there from like the first fight, Max. You know, there's like, we have a few people celebrity wise, like yourself, that, you know, they'll stop in like Vegas style, you know, three fights before the main event, whatever. You're there getting into it. You're there enjoying it. Doesn't matter if we're at the Apex or like last week at the huge show at UFC 276. Quite a show, main event, a little bit of a sleeper. That's okay, but it was quite a show. But Max, I want to thank you for being the UFC fan you are. I want to thank you for being the man you are. I have my boys at a show at the Apex. You did nothing but show them love, show them courtesy, as you do to everybody. Thanks for being the role model that you are, not just the great football player that you are, but thank you for being you, and thank you for being on the show, period.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, brother. I really appreciate it.
Aside from the fact that some of the greatest ink I've ever seen. Look at that ink, TJ. Come on, check it out. That is just awesome.
It's very Max. You know what I mean? It's on brand, if you will.
On brand is right. Is right. No, it's very cool. So, Max, you know, a lot of things happening in the news now. I want to go over the new acquisitions with you for the Raiders, and a couple other questions. But I see you just hired the first female black team president in the NFL, and Sandra Douglas Morgan. Congratulations, guys. I think it's a hell of a move.
Yes, sir. No, we're fired up. I had the honor to go yesterday and meet her for the first time and be there at her introductory press conference. And it was incredible. Her whole family was there. She's extremely confident, well-spoken, and, you know, we're fired up to, you know, have her part of the family. So we're really excited.
That's really cool because, you know, TJ Maxx, of course, was supposed to take the show with us yesterday. And he got a call from the coach that this was happening. Did you have any idea that was the announcement? Because I didn't until I read this morning.
No, I didn't know until literally the morning of. So that's when I found out. And they're like, you got to be there at 12. And I'm like, all right. So that's when I texted you. I'm like, Mark D called me. So I gotta be there.
Yeah, when the man's like Dana White calling me, it doesn't matter where I'm at. I got to get on the jet, you know?
Absolutely.
Gotta make sure I'm there. So, you know, Max, if football players as citizens, as outsiders watching in, we think the players only deal with the coaches, right? How active is a team president in with the players? I mean, do they go into you, talk to you, pat you on the back, or do they let all the messages come to you through the coaches? What's the chain of command? Can they walk in anytime? And do you think that your team is going to fully respect a female in this position? It's an honest question, and it's one that I would personally, because I love like Kamala Harris, you know, becoming vice president. I'm all about equality, female and men. So not even a question with me.
No, absolutely. You know, I'm glad you asked. You know, obviously, when you think of football, you know, it's a very manly, masculine sport. Yeah. So a lot of people are like, how is a woman, you know, getting announced as a president? But for us, you know, in our organization, we have, you know, from African-American to Mexican, we have everything you can imagine, woman, male, everything. So the Raider family is always gone in a different route than most other organizations. You know, Al Davis started that trend way back in the day. He was the first owner to hire a Hispanic head coach. He's been a pioneer in doing that. And Mark obviously has come in and continued that trend. And we just do it our way, you know, and at the end of the day, the most qualified person gets the job. And I feel like we've done a great job of doing that. And that's something that, you know, I truly appreciate as a player, you know, being in an organization that accepts everybody, no matter what background they come from. So it's really exciting. And, you know, obviously the team president role, they're not as involved with the football side of things, but they're still a part of the family. At the end of the day, you're going to see them in the building. They're a big part of the bigger picture type of business deals going on with stadiums and, you know, all that type of stuff as well. So at the end of the day, we're not with them every single day, but, you know, they're a huge part of what we do. So, you know, no matter what, we just want the best and qualified person. And she's definitely the person for that job.
That's awesome. You know, speaking of qualified people and the ins and outs and the Raiders, we all know last year, kind of a tumultuous season, not as far as play, right? Because you guys went really far, and I was very proud. Of course, I love opening the Raider games. I love being, now they told me I'm a team member of the Raiders. I hope that means I get a Super Bowl ring with you when you guys nail it down. Can't wait for that. But it's not all about that. It's about supporting you and the other Warriors, you know, on the gridiron, or call them the Gridiron Warriors, as I like to call them. So last year, aside from the horrific incident with the player involved in the car crash and all that happened there, we all know about that. No reason to go into that. But the whole Gruden situation, you know, when John Gruden was ousted at that time, and I assume you had a good relationship with John Gruden. Yeah, I know he's a tough coach, Chucky, as they like to call him.
Yeah.
Because I can't say that. Did that have an effect? Suddenly you're losing the head coach. You have under coaches underneath them, but the team's in a week of turmoil at that point. How much effect did that have on, like, the game you played that Sunday of that week? Did it really affect the players, or did it not?
Yeah, you know, it was tough. Like, it was kind of a buildup in a way. So we were playing Chicago, I believe it was week four. And that's when the first, like, email came out. And there was stuff going out, you know, going around about Gruden and things like that. And we didn't know it would get to that extreme, and we didn't know he would be out of there in just a week. So going into that Chicago game, there was a lot of noise, and obviously the, you know, being a head coach, being Gruden, like, he has to call a full game and he's dealing with all this stuff off the field. And it was a distraction. But I felt like as a team, you know, we were ready to play. We just didn't play our best. But once we found out more emails are coming out and that he had to resign, it all happened like that. And it was after Chicago game, and it was, you know, at that moment, you know, I got calls from Mike Mayock, who was the GM at the time. I got calls from Rich Bisaccia, our assistant head coach and special teams guy, and they were telling me, you know, obviously it's a horrible situation, but we have a game, to play this week. We have a full season still left to play, and they elected Rich Bisaccia to step in. So after that, you know, we already loved Coach Rich. Like, Rich, me and Rich personally, like, my relationship with him is incredible. And he's one of the best leaders I've ever been around. So once we found out that Rich is going to be the coach, everyone bought in. You know, that's at the end of the day, like, we could have went the complete opposite way and just said, screw it. You know, this season's a wrap. We'll figure it out after the year, whatever. But we put in so much work. And at the end of the day, I think it really brought us closer. We had an incredible group, and we all stayed together, and we ended up winning 10 games and going to the playoffs and almost beating Cincinnati, who made it to the Super Bowl. So it's just a credit to Rich Bisaccia's leadership, the rest of the guys on the team, just staying together and staying focused in such an up and down roller coaster of a season. It just shows you how mentally tough, you know, these guys are in the locker room.
And it's all going to pay off this year. It's almost like, you know, you went through a toughening period last year. Now you have the addition of the new head coach, Josh McDaniels, correct?
Yes, sir.
So what happened to Rich? When Josh comes in, where does Rich go?
So Rich, he's one of the best special teams coaches in the league. So he got hired by the Packers right away after they announced the McDaniels hiring. So he's in Green Bay. I still have great communication with him. It's one of the best people I've ever met. And I truly mean that. That dude he's a genuine, just a great leader and a great person. And yeah, you know, I wish nothing but the best for him. And I know he's going to do great things for Green Bay. So yeah, you know, I'm rooting for him. And, you know, obviously things didn't go the way everyone expected it, but that's just this league. You know, you never know what's going to happen. There's so many different variables that play into it that you just have to stay prepared and take care of the day to day. And you just got to go with the flow.
Like they say on any given Sunday, my man, any given Sunday, or Johnny Unitas used to say, talk is cheap. See you on the field, superstar, or however he exactly put it. I always love that from Johnny Unitas. Johnny yep. Unitas, back in the days when one of the biggest quarterbacks, greatest quarterbacks ever. And yet I think he was a car salesman in the off season because they weren't making the kind of money that, God love it, people like Max Crosby are making. And that's the name of the game, of course. So now with the new coach coming in, with Josh McDaniels, and people always say, oh, it takes a year, it takes 2 years to acclimate to the, you know, the formula of the team or whatever the proper verbiage is to put that. How's he acclimating, and how's the team acclimating to him?
You know, honestly, it's been incredible. You know, obviously it's all new. I have a bunch of new teammates, but our core guys are still here. That's really important. You know, having Derek, you know, re-signing, having, you know, obviously myself, Hunter Renfro, all those guys, Darren Waller, we're all coming back, but also adding some fuel onto that, getting a Davante Adams, a Chandler Jones, guys that are superstars, but also humble and hard workers. And that's hard to find. Yeah, just building this team. And, you know, I think Coach McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, the GM, have done an incredible job. And OTAs have really showed, you know, guys are really bought in. Everyone's, you know, selfless and committed to this new way of playing and new way of, you know, new system and new everything. But everyone's bought in because we know we have more than enough ability to go out there and win games. But at the end of the day, it's the team that is the closest and has that tight knit bond that ends up winning it in the end. So that's what we've been working on, just working on our relationships and getting closer as a team. And I feel like we're definitely on our way.
That's awesome. Well, I'll be there on the field August 14th. For the exhibition home opener. I'll be on the field there for you the dais, you know, up yeah. top for the Cardinals on the 18th for the home opener. And I've already gone over everything with my man there. Do you know Justin Cassidy, who yet you know and all, he runs all the show stuff, the behind the scenes pro, you know, music no. and everything. It's okay, probably not. There's so many people there, but anyway, he's my contact there. So we're all booked up for the season for me to be there for all the games. I'm going to bust my butt to get back from Europe for one game in time for the morning, Canada. I'm not going to miss it. Any chance I get, I'm going to be there. You know, the first time we just got joined. I think we have a new water boy for you. Max, hey, here he is right here.
Hey, I'd be a fantastic water boy.
Oh, there we go.
There yeah. you go.
Hey, I'm curious, Max, where are you right now? Are you in Vegas?
Oh yeah, I'm in my backyard right now.
Dude, I don't think that background for someone being in Las Vegas. I always think like desert, you know, like that looks like lush forest almost.
Yeah, no, this is I love this neighborhood over here. It's very secluded and it doesn't really have a Vegas feel. It's very it's different, but it's
See,
beautiful.
That's beautiful. What I like about Vegas. Vegas is a lot different than a lot of people sort of like typecast it. It can be anything you want.
If you've got money, you can make it anything you want.
Yeah.
You can make your house anything you want.
Exactly. Well, I mean, even if you get out of town a little bit and go up to, I think it's like Mount Charleston, you can get like a winter vibe. You can get all sorts of stuff out there.
Oh yeah. It's beautiful up there.
Very cool. So, Max, you know, when I played football as a kid in school and I only played in my junior high school and a couple of years in high school, I got a year in high school because I became a water polo player and a swimmer. Cause I came out to Malibu. All I did was surf and swim and all that stuff. And honestly, one of the reasons that I went into water polo is cause we were doing two-a-days, right? And here I am sweating my balls off. Sorry.
Hey, you know.
That's real. I'm sweating my balls off right. for 2 a day. All right. Yeah.
If it's real buff, you say it the real way.
If it's not in the octagon, it's not real. So here I am. I'm getting ready. I'm going through all the stuff. And here's these water polo or the swimmers just walking in, diving in the pool, you know. And I was a big swimmer and everything. And I said, you know what? I think it's time for a change. And that's when I went into water polo and all.
Hey, so, water polo is a real sport, Buff. Like, that'll kick your ass.
I scored more goals than anybody, but I got kicked out of more games than anybody because I was rough.
You're beating up people.
I used my elbows. I was coming around hitting guys in the head with elbows, and I learned not allowed to do that, but the heck with it. They were hitting me. I'm hitting back. It's just a rule of the thumb. Hey, so, man. You know that rule, Max. Sparring rule. You come at me, I'm coming at you hard. You come at me hard, I'm coming at you same. You come at me harder, I'm coming at you harder. Period.
Exactly.
So in the 2-a-days we did, now, what's the deal? Okay, you know Baldy from the NFL Network?
Of course, that's my guy.
He's my buddy, okay? He's a longtime friend of mine. So, and this doesn't relate to you, Max, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I asked him once, I said, why are a lot of the players seem to be getting hurt more than before? He said his reasoning is that you don't practice players today because of the rules and stuff. They're not hitting each other every day. They're not really going hard through all the prep. They're saving it for the game. And he said it's not anything taking away from the toughness and the amazing players they are. It just maybe lacks toughening the body a little bit for the games during the season. So I don't know if you agree with that or not. I'm not saying I do. I'm just telling you what Baldy was giving his viewpoint, because he comes back from the older days with his days with the Cowboys and the Eagles and all. Are you doing 2-a-days or what is the summer training camp regimen for you?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously it's a lot different nowadays. You know, back in the day they used to do 2-a-days, 3-a-days, all things like that, but we don't do 2-a-days anymore. But, you know, I feel like it's up to the coaches like to really kind of determine how that goes. Like, you got to find a fine balance. Like, at the end of the day, you can't be banging and hitting every single day and expect to be fresh and 100% on Sunday. But at the same point, like, practice for me Wednesday and Thursday, like, and Friday too, it's shorter practice. But at the end of the day, leading up to a game, like, I know what I need to do during practice. I got to go hard and feel how it feels during practice. So once I get to the game, I'm confident and I know I'm good. Like, you just have to find that fine balance, and what you do in practice is going to be exactly what you do in the game. So for me, like, practice is like the hardest thing of the week for me, because I'm going as hard as I can. It's 2 hours. There's no, like, you don't get a, you know, break between every play. It's a little bit different. So that's why, you know, I feel like practice is huge. You know, you got to get those game type reps during the week to prepare yourself physically, you know, for game day.
Yeah, absolutely. Days off. So for us non-knowers, you practice. Do you have Saturday off before Sunday, or do you practice on Saturday?
No. So we play on Sundays, and then Monday we come in the building, we watch film, work out, and then get massages, things like that. And then we're off for the rest of the day. And then Tuesday is our off day. And so for me, I always go in there on Tuesday and get my second lift of the week. I get another massage, get in the tubs, things like that. So by Wednesday, when we're back in practice, I've already knocked out my lifts and everything for the week. So I'm just focused 100% on the game plan and getting ready for the next game. So Wednesday is a full practice. Thursday is a full practice. And Friday is like an hour, like, run through, kind of going over everything. And then Saturday we have, like, if we travel, we would leave on like a Friday night or Friday afternoon and get there and then relax all Saturday, watch some film, do walkthroughs, things like that. But if we're home, you get to sleep in your bed on Friday and then show up in the building. And we just do a walkthrough and kind of go over some things and watch a little film. And then, you know, we get to go to the hotel and everything and relax. And then Sunday it's back on. So
the hotel when you're on the road, otherwise in Vegas, you go home, right?
Yeah, no. So on Saturdays, no matter what, like, before games, we're in the hotel.
I like that.
I mean, I don't want to say the hotel you're at, but it's the same hotel every time, because I stay at the Delano. That's where they put me up for the Raiders.
But yeah.
You don't have to say.
I won't say it, but we stay at the same hotel every time. And you got to be in bed by 11, lights off, everything like that, no matter if you're on the road or at home. So
what about your craving a little blackjack? Or do you gamble at all? You live in Vegas. Do you play blackjack or anything, or stay away?
No, I'm not a big gambler like that. I like to play roulette. Like, that's like my favorite game if I'm gonna gamble.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like things like that. I like playing roulette, a little bit of Buffalo Gold on the slot machines, stuff like that.
All right. Well, we've just established the fact that you're not a gambler. And that's good, Max. Save those millions, will you? Take care of your lady and your family and save it for the good stuff.
You never bet fights, Max?
Oh yeah. No, I'll bet on some fights and things like that. I got a buddy. For me, if I'm going to gamble, I'm going to pull out a certain amount of money that I'm not going to be upset with losing. Right. A couple $100. So it's never like, because I've seen people like, all right, I'm putting 10,000 on this, and then they're sick for the rest of the night. It's like,
right,
I pull a couple $100 out and do a couple bets on fights and stuff like that. And yeah, just, I'm not doing it to win big. I just do it just cause I'm competitive and, you know, I want to be right. So it's like,
all right, so lay it down. Saturday night, who did you bet on?
So I bet on Izzy. So I was happy about that.
Okay.
I lost my money with Strickland, which I was upset about. A buddy of mine. So yeah, I lost money on him. I bet on Robbie Lawler. He looked great. And then he ended up losing. So, I bet on Jalen Turner. So I was kind of 50-50. I ended up splitting even. So it wasn't too bad.
That's a win. You break even in gamma, it's a win. It's like you push with the blackjack play, dealer in blackjack. You won because they didn't get your money.
You didn't lose.
You didn't even. It's a good night.
For sure. For sure. Hey, do you watching, do you like when you relax, are you into TV? You like watching series at all, movies or stuff like that?
100%.
Have you seen the new Top Gun yet?
I have not, but everyone's telling me to watch it.
It's awesome. You know, you were sitting right beside Miles Teller, the co-star of, he was a few seats away from you in Top Gun, but I got to tell you something, man, it is an adrenaline rush. It's edge of your seat. It's must see in a movie theater. Yeah, I highly recommend it. I highly recommend it.
I'm going to go see it. I need to.
It's still in theaters too. It's one of those, films, you know, in the modern day, it seems like after 30 days or whatever, it's streaming. This one they're holding on to for a while
because it's grossed almost $1.5 billion. It's like the second highest grossing movie.
I haven't heard anybody say one negative thing about it.
Not Miles did say, I asked him, he said, Tom Cruise, he doesn't want to do a third one. He doesn't feel there's a plot that's going
to
work.
Well, I mean, you know, if you time it out for it to match up with the amount of time from Top Gun 1 to 30 Top years. Gun 2, he'll be 128, I think.
Yeah, I don't think they'll let him fly at that point. No, for sure. For sure. Are you, you ever see the movie The Godfather?
Of course.
One of the top 100 greatest movies ever made. On Paramount Plus, an app I've been binging on this lately. It was a topic later on the show, but I was mentioning it to you. They have a Miles Teller, again. He's starring in this, like, 10-part series, give or take, called The Offer. And it starts off before Mario Puzo, the author of The Godfather, ever wrote the book. And it starts telling the story from that point all the way to the end of making the movie and after the movie was made. And what this film went up against, between the mob trying to stop it, to the violence, to the you name it, to what this producer, it's one of the most awesome TV series I've seen. So even better than Pam and Tommy, I got to tell you, a little different, but I saw Pam and Tommy. I like that one. That was a good one, but this one is really cool. If you're into that, it depicts the whole, you know, time period back in the 60s and everything. I just can't recommend it highly enough if you're interested in that kind of stuff.
Oh, 100%. No, I'm definitely going to check it out. Like, my favorite movies of all time are all mob movies. Like Sopranos, the show Sopranos is my all-time favorite show. So I love Sopranos, like Goodfellas, The Bronx Tale. I just watched The Casino for the 20th time a couple nights ago. Like, I really like the mob movies are my all-time favorites.
Well, it's funny you mentioned a couple tidbits in what you said, but Casino.
Yeah.
I've been going to Vegas since 1972 when my parents and I moved out here from Philadelphia to Malibu. And my parents took me there as a teenager. I was gambling and playing blackjack at 19 in the casinos. I can say that now due to statutes of limitations. My dad was a boss gambler. He was treated. But back then, we stayed at the Riviera Hotel where they filmed the movie Casino. And when the boys ran, you know, the town.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, it's a different world back then, Max. Different world. My dad would look at the pit boss and tell him that we wanted to go see Elvis Presley. He'd make a phone call. Hey, you're sitting first row. Take care of the buffer boys. Right? You don't get that today. That doesn't happen today. It was a totally, totally different world back then. And then we talk about The Godfather. My friend was James Caan, who played Sonny Corleone in The Godfather, who passed away yesterday. Yeah, and I want to just, well, I have you on, if I just may say, because his family, his son, Scott, you know, people that I know, I just want to send my best wishes and condolences on the passing of one of the old breed, one of the men's men actors that was out there, Jimmy Caan, one of the funniest guys I ever met, and just a really cool guy. And rest in peace, Jimmy Caan. Just want to say that.
Absolute legend.
Absolute legend, for sure. So, Max, when you're not playing, and thank you for saying that, when you're not playing football and you have your off season, business ventures at all? Are you chilling?
Yeah, like I'm a real big homebody. Like I got three dogs here. I got a little daughter on the way. And I really like to be in the house. Like I train at the facility in Henderson. I'm there all off season. So once in a while, like I'll go back home. I'll see my family in Texas for about a week after the season. I'll have them out here and things like that. But yeah, I really don't go anywhere. I went to Utah to get engaged. I love Utah, the beautiful mountains and everything. It's a different kind of scenery, but yeah, I always find like one different, like random place to go to every off season. So that's kind of how we do it. Like me and Rachel, we went to Tahoe last year. We loved Lake Tahoe. It was beautiful.
That was beautiful.
We like just change it up, finding different places like that. But for the most part, like we're in the house and, you know, relaxing and enjoying Vegas for sure.
And what about sports? I mean, are you a skier? Are you a motorcycle? Are you do anything that possibly, God forbid, could interfere with your play?
No, I'm a big basketball. Like, I love basketball. It's like my number one first love. Good. I literally got a court here at the house.
There you go. That's awesome.
Got a little setup. So I'm always playing, shooting hoops and have teammates over. And we play basketball a little bit. So, yeah, I love basketball. And, yeah, that's about it, to be honest. And I love fighting. So.
Well, you and I have a few things in common then. I love basketball too. I don't know if I want to dribble up against the basket with you covering me, but I'll definitely play a game of horse.
I don't know if you want to do either in that Vegas heat. My goodness. You need an indoor court there, Matt.
Lose a little bit. You know, you were born in Colleyville, Texas. I was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is just a drop off for 9 months. We moved to Dallas after that, where I spent about 6 years of my young life. I love Texas. Do you miss it? Your whole family back there?
Yeah. So it's funny. So I was actually born in Michigan. I lived in Michigan until I was 10. And
You were born in Texas. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. And so I lived in Michigan until I was 10. Like all my aunts, uncles, grandparents, they all live in Michigan still. Then I moved off to Texas in like 2008, I believe. And my parents are still there. And I love it. Like I love Michigan. I love Texas. It's tough. Like my parents live out in the country. I love going and seeing them, enjoying, you know, our time there. But it's just, you know, I'm blessed to be able to live in Las Vegas because everyone wants to come here. So it's like, all right, cool. Like if I have somebody I truly like my parents or my brother, like some of my best buddies from college, things like that, they all want to come here. So I'll just be like, all right, man, find a weekend. We'll figure it out. And y'all come out here and enjoy it. So I like having guests and stuff and they love the house. And we got everything we need. So we enjoy it.
They ever come unannounced? Right, yeah. Max.
Never. Okay, never. I don't do that. No, for sure.
So, Max, you Saturday night, I'm going to let you go in here in a second, but Saturday night, what was your favorite fight of the night? I mean, I know it wasn't Izzy's fight. It was a little bit of a sleeper. Izzy's still great. We all know that.
For sure.
Which fight did you like or which two fights did you enjoy the most?
Honestly, I think, like, the obvious answer is definitely the Robbie Lawler-Barbarina fight. That was an absolute war. But yeah, honestly, that's probably the best. And then one of the most impressive fights was the Jalen Turner fight. Like that was supposed to be a legit, like, okay, this is Turner's first ranked guy, and Turner went there and finished him 45 seconds. So yeah, there was a ton of good fights. I like the prelims a lot. There was a lot of good fights.
See, that's what I like about Max. And you said it earlier, Bruce, like he's in the seat pretty much from fight one. And if
like fight
you,
one. Yeah.
If totally. You miss those prelims, sometimes you miss the fight of the night or you miss the knockout of the night. And man, like, you know, honestly, I was actually proud of Las Vegas on Saturday night. That was an early arriving crowd. Normally they're a little bit later. I don't know if it was because it was International Fight Week. You had more, you know, people visiting than normal, but they were there almost from fight one.
And they should have been because, you know, the Jessica Rose Clark and Stoliarenko fight, Jessica I and Macy Barber, both those fights were great fights.
Yeah, 100%. Awesome. There was no real sleepers, unfortunately, until we got to maybe the co-main and main. But that was just high-level technical mixed martial arts, too. There's a lot to appreciate there as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's Max, I don't want to keep you too long, but is there anything you want to tell us that we can, you know, shoot out to the world here for you?
Honestly, I got nothing for you. I just want to say I truly appreciate you having me on. We obviously, it took a couple times to get on here, but we made it happen. And, you know, I appreciate you, Bruce, TJ, as well. I appreciate you guys for real. And I'll obviously be seeing you guys real soon.
I'll be seeing you August 14th. Oh, I got to share with you one thing. When I, and thank you so much for your kind words, Max. When I first came out at the first game last season, they told me they had B-roll of the players on the field because it was unannounced that I was going to be there. Nobody knew, right? Yeah. And guys were looking at each other going, holy S. Now we got to really win this effing game. You know, it's like, I got you in a fight mode. Did you notice a surprise? I'm not saying my ego doesn't need this. I'm just asking, was it a surprise for the players when I came out, when you were on the field and I did that?
So I got a funny story, and I'm glad you asked this.
Okay.
And this, I don't want to take your guys' time.
You got all the time you want, buddy. Go ahead.
So this is what happened. So it was leading up to the game. It was it was game week leading up to Baltimore, and Coach Gruden was obviously our head coach, and we had a great relationship. You know, we would always joke around and, you know, talk crap back and forth. And I think it was on like a Wednesday or Thursday, and I went up to Coach Gruden, and I'm like, Coach, you know, it would be insane. I know this is our first time in Vegas having fans, everything. I was like, imagine if Bruce Buffer was saying, and it, you know, it's time, blah, blah, blah. I literally had that conversation. Like,
oh my gosh.
I swear to God, you can ask him. You can ask him as well. He would back me up. But I literally said that. And then we run onto the field and nobody had any idea. So when I looked up and I seen it, you going crazy and doing the announcement, I was like, I looked at Coach Gruden, I'm like, no way. And he was just smiling. I'm like, this is wild. And so I had no idea that it was actually going to happen, but I was literally like right before that happened, me and Gruden had that conversation. So I appreciate, obviously, every time you come out, like, everyone's going crazy. The fans are going crazy, and we truly appreciate it. It's insane.
I love that, Max. Thank you. I'm sitting here blushing, man. You made me so happy to hear that. That's very cool. Well, I'm going to give it to the Raiders harder than ever this season. Let's make this a great season. There's no reason it can't go all the way. I know that's the only thing in your head. You got to believe that. Otherwise, why step into the fight, right? Got to believe it.
Absolutely. Thank you, man.
Good luck to you, the new acquisitions, the team, the coach, everything. Stay healthy, Max. Stay healthy and happy. Take care of your beautiful lady. And congratulations on your baby girl. When are we gonna have the birth? When does she do?
September 29th. September.
All right, when you get in contact with me, you send me her name, date, time, height, weight, and I'll make you a really wonderful video to commemorate the birth of your baby, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Max. Appreciate you, too. We'll see you around the UFC campus very soon, sir. My friend.
Absolutely. Cheers. All right, y'all.
Take care.
Not many fans bigger, literally or figuratively, of the UFC than Max Crosby.
No, and like you said, I mean, it's like, what is the Red Hot Chili Pepper that's always there from the very first fight, right?
Anthony Kiedis.
Anthony Kiedis, excuse me. I brain farted there for a second. Right. Anthony's there from the very first fight. Even Miles Teller, you know, and Chris Pratt, when they came in, they love being there early for the fights, and they're getting Miles Teller was like, every time I walk by, he's double fist bite. Get it. He's going crazy. It's like, right. Whoa, okay. You're pumping me up.
I mean, that's the thing about fighting, and you know, no, disrespect to the main card guys, 'cause they're obviously on the main card for a reason, but right. Anytime there are evenly matched fights, anything can happen, Bruce. And there are no, you know, uneven fights in the UFC, and the desire is as strong as it is for the main event, as it is for these preliminary fighters, maybe even more so because they're trying to climb the ranks and get on that main card. But it doesn't matter. If I'm going to a fight show, like, I want to be there for the show, and that starts with the walk and fight number one.
Agreed. And he's perfect example of what you call a very solid fan, whether it's like a football fan. You don't show up in the second quarter. You show up at kickoff.
No.
You
know? And this is the first time my extra round set was actually in the arena at T-Mobile. And it's been a while since I've been able to take an entire show in from fight one to the very end. And I was,
I saw a picture. You were, cool. So you got to see hear the whole thing.
I mean, we had the ESPN set up essentially where our desk was at the very top of the arena. And we looked down right at the octagon. And it was an experience unlike any other. And Bruce, the energy was just, it was a different fight feel, a different fight crowd last Saturday night inside T-Mobile.
It was a different fight crowd for Vegas.
Yeah, you know? No, 100%.
It was like we were in, you know, like
Madison Square Garden, honestly, like Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, just, everybody was just going ballistic. You know, the energy was really, really strong. I hate the booing when it happens. You know, I feel about that.
You know, I hate to say, but I think the booing sometimes happens when the undercard fights are really great. You know what I mean? Because
they expect too much.
Right. They set a bar that is so high and you're not going to, you know, surpass that bar, especially as when you think about it, you get higher and higher up the card. The athletes get more and more technical and are fighting for more. So they fight a little bit safer. I'm not saying that they're not trying to beat their opponent, but there are times where there's so much on the line. You fight to win more than you fight to put on a show at times. And, you know, when you are the champion, I'm not trying to make excuses for Israel Adesanya, but it is so hard to get to that belt that there are times, you have to take the path to victory that is maybe not the most aesthetically pleasing. You know, a lot of people have made comparisons to Israel Adesanya being the next Anderson Silva. Well, look at the Tallis Leitch's fight with Anderson. Look at the Demian Maia fight with Anderson. Look at even the Patrick Cote fight with Anderson. Like, there were times Anderson had to take routes to ensure that he walked out the building as the champion that weren't the most marketable, that weren't exactly what fans were, you know, quote unquote, paying their money for. But, you know, sometimes you got to sit through high level technical performances so you can get the knockouts of, say, a Vitor Belfort with that push kick, or, you know, the you know, highlight reels that the greats put on. Sometimes they got to take the road that is a little more grindy.
Well, that's why the sport is called mixed martial arts. Okay.
Right. Yes.
Because these men and women are supermen and superwomen. They have an answer for everything that comes at them. If it changes the pace of the fight and they need to change their plan for the fight to win the fight, that's what it's all about. It's a game of chess.
Yep.
You know,
100%.
And it's literally mixed martial arts. Boxing, you know, when I boxed, it was like, I'm thinking, you know, three punches ahead.
Sure.
Mixed martial arts, you got to think 3 to 5 moves ahead. You got to set that thing up.
Oh, 100%. Know? Yeah. And it's all about adjustment. And it's a much more calculating sport than people really think. Like, you know, I was happy that Alexander Volkanovsky was saying what he said after beating Max Holloway for the third time. It's not often you get a trilogy where one fighter has fought, you know, or has won the first two previous bouts and then goes on to win the third. But, you know, Volkanovsky is a guy that I think people have, for whatever reason, sort of resisted being a poster boy and someone that is a superstar. Well, I mean, he does everything right, Buff. Like, he goes out there and he, you know, he might bring his lunch pail to work and sometimes it's grinding, but man, the kid goes for it and he has earned everything that he's been given. Now he's talking about moving up to 155. I think there are interesting fights for him there, but you know, I hope Alexander Volkanovsky is appreciated more so by the fans today than he was going into Saturday night, because the kid is the best in the world at 145.
Well, I agree with you, and I'm a big fan of Volkanovski. I'm a big fan of Max. You know, it's just that was a brutal fight. Max being the warrior he is, we all saw how it turned out. But I thought Saturday night was a heck of a night, exciting. Like, when I put out my Instagram, Twitter post, you know, I said a mostly memorable night, and it was a mostly memorable night.
Yeah, and again, everything was really memorable. Yes, you might not, you know, talk about how Izzy, you know, fought his fight against Jared Cannonier, but it's his fifth title defense. That goes into the record books. You're going to remember the fact that Adesanya is the best in the world, and his only hiccup thus far has been, you know, a couple fights have been somewhat boring. It takes two to tango. I don't think that if you're going to look at Izzy and say that he was at fault for the Yoel Romero fight, I just don't buy that. I think Romero was definitely the one that wasn't engaging in that contest. But the bottom line is it's another chapter to his championship legacy and reign. And anytime Israel Adesanya fights, he should be buying the pay-per-view.
Exactly. You know, and there's certain people, and I don't bet fights like that, but, you know, there's certain people you don't bet against. You don't bet against Izzy. You don't bet against John Jones. You know, you don't bet against Amanda Nunes. You know, just, you don't.
Yeah. I'm curious if the Pereira fight is next for Adesanya. Max mentioned Alex getting by Sean Strickland. He did so in pretty devastating fashion. This guy has only been in the UFC for a handful of fights.
You know, impressive.
Was going into 276 unranked, taking on the number 4 ranked middleweight.
Incredible.
For me, I think that's the fight you got to make next. I mean, maybe it's a little bit early when you look at his UFC run, but the guy is a longstanding martial artist, someone who's had, you know, phenomenal success. He's beat Izzy twice in kickboxing. I'd like to see that be the next fight for Adesanya.
I completely agree with you. Before I want to get one to another fight that happened last weekend outside the Octagon. But before I do, the Paris show, there's 17,000 seats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to go in a few days early with a friend of mine and relax and enjoy and you know, really have a good time. I was going to go to the south of France after, but they put a show on the 10th of September, so I can't do that. My own, oh, great, I have a problem, please. It's not a problem. Okay, that's not
right.
A problem.
You're going to France, man. Like, Paris is a dream.
France. Okay, so the point I wanted, I remember Coneheads.
I never saw it, unfortunately.
Oh, the Saturday Night Live. I never saw the.
Well, I saw the bits. I never saw the film.
Oh, I didn't see the film. I saw the bits. Never saw the film.
I hear you.
Okay, bits sometimes are better than films.
Oh, 100%. They're still a little bit early in my timeline of Saturday Night Live, though.
Get this scuttlebutt, TJ.
Hmm.
There's 17,000 seats.
Right.
204,000 requests.
Oh my God.
Came in for seats. The most ever for a UFC. It could sell up like 10, 20 times higher than the seats. Huh?
That's a stadium.
It's a stadium. But, you know, first show, keep it where it's at and make it happen. It's just
it's been a long time coming. You know, France had outlawed mixed martial arts for the longest time. I think they're like really the latest adopter when it comes to countries to legalize the sport. A lot of it had to do with the Judo Federation not wanting mixed martial arts to get a stranglehold. Because that's really what, no pun intended with the stranglehold, but that's really what the UFC and MMA does when it comes into new markets. And obviously the buzz is more than palpable if you're getting 200,000 seat requests.
All right. Well, let's stick on the word stranglehold for a second.
Okay. Let's do it.
Let's put the word stranglehold with the name Joey Chestnut.
Oh man. So I interviewed Joey right before this happened.
All right. So let's set it up. Okay.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
Joey, for all intents and purposes, is an icon when it comes to what he does.
There's no question. I'll give him that.
Yeah. And I talked to him. He actually had a broken leg, and he was actually worried about the broken leg interfering with how much he was going to be able to.
Can you get him on the show? Can you get him on our show?
Maybe. I know his people, but yeah, his people can somewhat be difficult to
deal
with.
Understand.
But I'll do my best.
See if you can. See if you can.
I'll do my best. So Joey's going to town doing his thing, and someone came up on stage, stood right in front of him, had some sort of message that he was like protesting. And, you know, we live in a time now, Buff, you know this as well as anybody. We don't know what these people do when they, you know, breach that barrier and get on stage. Sometimes it's peaceful. Sometimes they're there to hurt you. And Joey apparently showed off that he's got some skills when it comes to, you know, defending himself, because he put this dude in a proper rear naked chokehold very quickly. And, you know, they were to get this guy off the stage, and Joey just didn't miss a beat. Like, he was still chowing down when he's putting that choke in. And yeah, man, like that's the thing too, Bruce, not to change the subject entirely, but like, you can never be confident anymore if you are in a street altercation, because the UFC has impacted people so much that, you know, everybody seems to know, you know, the proper rear naked choke grip, or they're going for guillotines, or, you know, things like that. Joey Chestnut clearly has done his homework and was prepared to defend himself if needed.
Good. Don't come at me on stage and I'm in an event.
Oh, no, that would be really bad.
Don't come at me.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm the toughest guy in the world. I'm not saying that, but I'm not going to sit around and be slapped and not hit you back. I'm not going to sit around. You touch me.
Right. Just ask Frank Trigg. Ask prime Frank Trigg.
Okay. I was trying to avoid that one, but I guess it's unavoidable.
Hey, you know, Buff, like, again, you went after the number one contender, essentially, in the welterweight division.
No, he went after me. He went after me.
That's true. He touched you first, but you kind of finished it. I'm just saying.
Got to do what you got to do.
And Trigg, and we're not saying anything that Frank Trigg hasn't recognized. So
recognize it. I'm an announcer. Don't hit me in the throat. Love you, Frank. I'll see you in the
he's,
octagon when
he's
you're
so
referring.
Great. Like, no.
Frank's cool. We're buddies. That was the whole point. You know,
I've said this to Frank's face, and I'll stand by it. When he was fighting, he was a dick, man. He was just a dick. He was not the type of guy that you even enjoyed saying hi to. He was just in that mindset of just, that's who he was. But since he's gotten out of fighting and he's a referee, he's one of the sweetest human beings I've ever met, Bruce. Like, there is no ego about him. He's a down to earth guy who just, you know, he loves talking about his past, but he'll even admit, like, yeah, I was hard to be around.
No, he knows it. He spells it out correctly. Getting back to, cheers to you, Frank. Getting back to, Joey. Think about this. And I bet Saturday Night Live does a bit on this. I have this premonition. There's going to be a bit on this tomorrow night from what happened with Joey. But the time clock was still running.
Yeah.
Joey's record is 76 hot dogs.
Yep.
He choked this guy and they got rid of the situation. He's still down 63 hot dogs to win the competition.
Yep.
I'm sorry. This is like the performance of the week for me. Okay.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, competitive eating is something that doesn't really get sort of the appreciation that it should. I understand it's one of those sort of sideshow spectacle sports, but Joey Chestnut's a guy that has to train and he has to do things. And he was talking about how his leg was hurt. And, you know, he thought that would lower his total number. And, you know, the bottom line is, when you're competing at anything at a high level, every second counts. Every sort of decision that you need to make in action and move sort of has a consequence in the outcome. And the fact that Joey Chestnut wins this thing while also essentially finding himself in a physical altercation, it's amazing.
I agree. And switching tunes here a second, at the UFC, which was star-studded, there were 62 fighters the UFC brought in for Fight Expo.
Right.
I'll tell you a funny story. They called me 2 weeks ago, Reed Harris, and he said, listen, they want you to open up the UFC Expo, right? Now, I had to come into Vegas on Thursday for an event I did that night and a Sports Illustrated event on Friday. We all had events to do on UFC Fight Week.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in bed. I'm sleeping in because I got an appearance at 12 noon. Okay. It's the expo opens at 10. They call me
early one buff, man.
They call me at 9:15. Are you ready to go? I'm not even showered. It's like, God, guys, I do business where you set everything up ahead of time. You don't call me don't call me 2 weeks before and say we want you to and never contact me.
And let's be honest, you're not going to say this, but you're probably like, yeah, sure, I'll be there. Hey, babe, I got to go. I got to get going here. I'm sorry.
Whatever the scenario was, I just have to say that I went. I got there. You know me. I'm a trooper.
I saw it. You were killing it. You're crushing it.
Oh, cool.
It. Yeah.
Oh, Saturday night, did I kill it? Just kidding.
So I loved the second
I had
jacket.
So much fun Saturday night.
The second jacket was so money. It was really
wasn't
good.
Wasn't that? I tell you, out of all the jackets, when I did the change up, Chris and I were talking, and I was looking at the social media response and emails and texts and you name it. That's the most talked about jacket I've ever worn.
Oh, it was on point, Buff. Good job.
Three offers to buy it, one for $8,000, TJ.
Unbelievable.
And I turned them all down. Turned them all down.
I mean, that's one that I actually hope to see again because it was a head turner.
You'll see it in about a year.
Okay. I like it. I mean, maybe that's a fight week jacket.
And the public in LA will probably see me in a white t-shirt, jeans and shoes and that jacket when I go out casual in the next month.
I like it. I like it. I mean, it's a good look, Buff. It's good luck.
Yeah. The dragonflies, you know, there's a certain meaning behind dragonflies. I was so into that. Anyway, thank you so much, TJ. It was really cool. Okay. Now, star-studded 62 fighters, Miles Teller, Chris Pratt, Shaquille O'Neal, Max Crosby.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon.
I saw Vince. Yeah. They had a show.
Daughter,
the same
Triple
time,
H.
Essentially. Yeah. They were over at the MGM Grand doing a pay-per-view. I don't know if, I mean, it was definitely running when the UFC was, I don't know if it was when the main card was running, but you know, it says something when you're running head to head with the UFC. And then as soon as you're done, you run across the street and, you know, make sure you catch the main event
on a night that Dana White wasn't there.
I know. Dana was smart getting out of town, you know, during fight week. It's pandemonium.
Not a much needed vacation. Let's listen, billionaire, half billionaire, whatever Dana is, that maverick of a businessman, my buddy, Dana, this man works his butt off. I mean, it's amazing. You have so much money, but still so much passion to keep this running. Aside from all the other UFC adventure shows and TV shows. Dana, thanks, man, because it's that Fuhrer that keeps us in where we're at. He's a maverick like Vince is for the WWE. But now get this. Not the good news. You know, Vince is getting hit with these, you want to call them sexual misconduct and infidelity lawsuits. One report came out. He paid $3 million to one employee. Now, today, they report he's paid $12 million in settlements out to a total of, if I have this correctly, four employees.
Which is a problem because it's a public company, right? Is that why it's an issue?
Well, it's the kind of thing, and I'm not saying this is going to happen. He may step down.
He already has stepped down.
Well, but has he stepped down permanently? Was that
vacating? I mean, it's like an interim thing. I don't know. I mean, and that's the thing, too. Like, if anybody is just going to say, F all of you, I'm keeping my job, it's Vince McMahon. That said, it is different when it's a publicly traded company. There are some hurdles there. I don't know, man. Like, it's an unfortunate scenario for someone to act this way when they are the leader of a multi-billion-dollar company. But, you know, it's going to shake out the way it does, and we'll see what happens. But don't be surprised if he's still standing tall at the end as you know, the front man for this company.
Yeah, I'm sure. We'll see how it plays out. But, you know, listen, but everybody's a fan of the WWE, and I'm a fan too. I don't watch it, but I'm a fan.
They're a great show.
It's a great show.
Well-run entertainment company. And Completely. If you know anything about live events, there's nothing better than how they pull off their event. Yes, it's not the same thing that, you know, the UFC does, but it's not supposed to be. And you suspend your disbelief. It's like going to a movie. And it's the best live action movie you can see in the business.
Yeah. Now we go to another subject. Former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Abe was assassinated. If you watch the video, now get this, TJ. This is horrific, of course, because it always is if something like this happens. Japan has strict gun laws, okay? It's a country of 125 million people that reported only 9 deaths from firearms in 2018, compared with 39,740 that same year in the United States.
Right.
Okay, the only guns permitted for sale are shotguns and air rifles. Handguns are outlawed, right? It's a complicated process. They suspect this is probably a handmade weapon that this individual used. This is the only death this year in Japan. It's horrific.
Was it a firearm?
Firearm.
See, that's what's, I mean, I'm not trying to get into like conspiracy theories and talk craziness, but like, that's what sort of concerns me about these 3D printers. You know what I mean?
Yes, no, of course. Yeah. It's just like a zip gun. They make in jail, you make the zip gun. You know, all you got to do is something come down on a fire pin.
Right.
And a barrel for it to come out of. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It goes to show you that if somebody wants to get you, they're going to get you.
Yeah. I mean, that's to me why it comes down to mental health. And, you know, I don't want to get all gun crazy, but like, this is something that, like you said, Bruce, like if someone is mentally unwell and is hell bent on getting you, they're going to do everything they can in their power to get you.
Exactly. Exactly. On another note here, Brad Pitt, one of my favorite actors, actually had the pleasure of having drinks and hanging out with him for an hour and a half one night here in Venice. Just one of the most down to earth actors I've ever met. He was making the movie where he played Achilles. I forget the name of the film. And he tore his Achilles.
He was in the
boot, you know, with the whole thing.
Oh man.
Anyway, that being said, just a little bit of my past life memory. He suffers from a really rare disease. TJ, have you heard this?
No, what is it?
It's called prosopagnosia, if I have that correct. And in layman terms, it's face blindness. 2.5% of the population suffers from it in like varying degrees.
Is this where they can't see people or don't remember their faces?
Exactly right.
See, I think I have this. I'm not even kidding you, Bruce. Like,
oh, really?
I can meet someone and a week later, I don't remember them by look alone. And I don't know why.
Well, in his case, he can't recognize people by looking at their faces, including family members.
See, that's extreme. But like, I have a very short term, like people come up to me all the time and I have no recollection. Like, you called my fight. And I was like, I'm sorry. I probably remember your name. I might even be able to tell you something associated with your name, but I don't remember what people look like for whatever reason.
Well, he claims he's never gone for an official diagnosis, but he's confident that he has the condition because he's been suffering from this for a while.
Well, I mean, if you're looking at family members and you don't know who they are, doesn't, you know, they're not recognizing them, if they're
either
people
good weed
had a deep history with
a little too much you know,
maybe I mean, yeah, you might want to blow into the straw and tell me what the reading is before we just go with a diagnosis. But I'm guessing he's probably, I mean, if he's really talking about family members that he has an extensive history with and he doesn't recognize them,
yeah,
that's scary.
That's really scary. Speaking of Puncher's Chance, I'm on a Puncher's Chance national tour.
I know, I've been seeing some photos.
Yeah, we did Total Wine and More, a huge store. I did them last week in San Dimas. They told me that it was a brand new San Dimas store. My appearance there that day over their monthly sales chart, I'm not saying it was because of me, but the day I was there, their sales increased $10,000 that day.
Right. Just a coincidence that you're
just
there.
Just a coincidence.
Right. Yeah.
I appeared at Total Wine and More here in Redondo Beach. We brought in 30 cases. By the time I left, there was maybe 4 cases left.
Unbelievable.
Guys were coming in and women buying 4 bottles, 3 bottles and cases at a time.
Yeah.
Incredible.
People like it, Buff. It's not just a marketing strategy, you know, people.
Thank
enjoy
you.
It.
Well, I want to announce now that the tour continues next week and I will be in Oakland. I'll tell you real quick.
I mean, this national tour sounds like California is the whole nation.
1 second. I'll tell you. What, say that again?
I said this national tour you're talking about just sounds like California is the whole nation. When do you get,
yeah,
California?
Because right, it is. Well, I'm, in this case, the next 2 weeks it will be, because next week I go to, I'll tell you real quick as I remind myself, I'll be in Chicago.
Okay.
I'm going to be at Benny's Beverage.
All right.
Which is a very popular location.
Sounds like a place I'd want to go, to be honest with you.
What's that?
It sounds like a place I'd want to go. Let's go to Benny's.
Yeah, Benny, let's go to Benny's. Anyway, it's in Orland Park. I'll be there Thursday, July 14th from 6 to 8 p.m. I'll be announcing a big appearance in Dallas at the end of the month on the 29th of July. And we're working on something potentially for Long Island, New York. But anyway, this is the national tour. Everything's going great with Punchers. I can't begin to tell you more. It's just going incredible. Let's go over a couple of little stories from the news here. An X-ray at a Bangkok airport. God, this is disgusting. Jeez. Found 109 live animals in women's luggage. 109 live animals, TJ. Just think about it. Including 2 rare white porcupines, 2 armadillos, 35 turtles, 50 lizards, and 20 snakes.
Porcupines will mess you up.
I can't even fathom that.
I don't get it.
I that's all I want to say. I can't fathom.
I mean, obviously, whoever's doing this is like an exotic pet dealer, but
No. And then there was another one.
You don't think they're exotic pet?
Oh, a pet? Oh no, they're selling them on the black market, or whatever that term is called.
Yeah.
What is the black? What do they call that?
I don't know. Exotic pet dealer is what I call it.
Yeah, and a Florida teen,
legal or illegal? Yeah,
a Florida teen was attacked by a shark in Florida.
Oh no!
And she survived. She was in the water. She survived the shark attack in the state's Gulf Coast. And what it turns out to be, that one of the reasons that she survived it, was because she started punching it in the nose.
Right. Which and the is reason what you punch a shark to do.
Always said to do that. I mean, if you have the wherewithal to do it,
right.
No matter how big the shark, all their nerve endings are in their nose. That's where it's like our feet. It culminates into their nose.
Yeah. And I'm curious. So what kind of shark?
Didn't say. Didn't say. A short article.
So it's in the Gulf, right? So that'd probably be like a bull shark, maybe?
Probably. If she made a bull shark, go away. Those are the most vicious sharks in the world.
Is that
even,
is that
even more vicious than a great white?
What's the shark that can go up into freshwater?
Bull shark.
So I'm guessing it's probably a bull shark. If it's in the Gulf, it's probably going up and into the river and back down. And yeah, wow. Good for her to get away. That's terrifying. I hope she makes a recovery and can look at the water, you know, with some sort of still, you know, passion for it. Because shark attacks me, Buff. I'm never getting back in the water again.
I've been with him in the water. It's your time. It's your time. So then right now we're going into the weekend. I just hope that I wake up on Monday and I don't read about another shooting this weekend. I just want to have one weekend when there's no shooting. This shooting that happened weekend into the parade of people by this asshole, horrible. And the horrible part is that another case where the police went to the house. If I have this correct, they confiscated his guns in the past. He was still able to go out at 22 years old and buy two more weapons. This has got to be corrected, TJ. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to get on one of our big gun control things. I love guns. I collect them. The whole bit, you know, I'm armed and ready to rumble. If I have ground checks, gun control, same in every state, this has got to stop. That's all I want to say.
Agreed. Zoom is killing us right now.
Did you hear the guy was in a dress? They claimed he was in a dress when he did this.
No.
Whatever the reasoning is.
Why?
Maybe to hide. I don't know. Huh? Oh, I'm ending the show on a. Can you hear me?
I hear you, but things are just—they're not working for us today, unfortunately. I think we're good now. I hope.
Okay. Okay, you got it. Okay. Sorry about that little blip, guys. Everybody listening, all good. All good. All good.
We're gonna make it.
Yep. Okay. Let's see. Human fossils found in a cave are 1 million years older than expected that we were around. They think now that we are around even 1 million years older than we expected to have been around.
Hmm.
Whatever that means, I do not know.
We're old.
We're old.
I think we'd be more advanced than we are then, unfortunately.
Exactly. Okay. There's a UFC this weekend. I will not be there. Everybody tune in. TJ, are you covering the UFC this weekend?
No, I'm taking a very much needed week off. I was a part, I think, of like 14 different broadcasts over that four or five day period out there in Vegas. So, which is partially why I've had some issues in here today. My light burned out, which is not fun.
No.
My camera wasn't working. I had to reset the entire studio here because we take it out on the road. And so sorry about my technical issues. Sorry about how I'm like darker than I normally am. You can't really see me, but like I said at the top of the show, Bruce, the fact that you can't see me very clearly might mean that the show gets the best ratings of all time.
We see you now. You look great. And I think the ratings went down in the last 30 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. They went up. Don't worry.
That's not true. Nobody cares about me. They're all here for you, Buff.
No, they're here for us. They're here for a good show. The show's not about me. It's about the show.
All right.
I guess.
I mean, it's time with Bruce Buffer. It's kind of about you.
Yeah, well, we'll change the title, make sure it gets more sales. Anyway, all kidding aside, TJ, anything you want to talk about before we sign off?
No, nothing really. Just happy we made it through another 4th of July.
Oh, how was it? What did you do?
My life is chaos, Bruce. I'm not kidding you. Like, I moved through fight week. My house is still completely in boxes. So very late, we went out to dinner and we found a spot nearby in a little town called Yorba Linda. I'm sure you're familiar with it.
I know Yorba Linda, sure.
Hung out in Yorba Linda, watched a little fireworks, and then went home and went to bed. And, you know, still like trying to unpack. Like, if you ask me where my razor was right now, I can't tell you. I don't know where it is. I'm using one of these little you know, disposable things that suck and tear apart my face. So like my life is in shambles, but one box at a time, day by day, trying to get some normalcy going.
TJ, I moved into my house 6 years ago and I'm still unpacking.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, there's boxes in the garage I haven't even unpacked yet. It's like,
Buff, I have so many things I need to take to the Goodwill and just get rid of because I just don't have the room.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to say, I got to do it. It's like, clean. It's like, I want to clean out the closet, all these incredible, you know, to me, I love my clothes, but I don't wear them anymore. You know, and it's like, I have a really hard time throwing stuff out.
Well, for me, I just find like $700 microphones just randomly, you know, thrown around my house. So
send one over.
I mean, you're using a great microphone. I love that microphone. You can tell it's the same one. But yeah, no, Bruce, the things that we collect or the things that we forget about, especially some of the high end stuff, like I have things that are worth hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. I'm like, what? I didn't even know I owned this thing.
Yep. eBay.
Yeah, I think so. I think eBay. We're headed for
take the time, throw it on eBay.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason to take in a little coin for stuff that's been sitting around.
My problem is I got some really high end pro audio stuff that like only a radio station would want to buy, but I don't
never know.
Yeah.
Never know.
Well, if anybody's looking for a 2-bus audio mixing console that has 12 pots and 2 microphone preamps and a phone hybrid, hit me up because I
not only didn't I understand what you said, not be able to work what you said, so somebody else is going to buy it except for me.
I mean, basically, I paid $7,500 for it, and now this little thing, this Rodecaster Pro right here, is $800 and does everything and more than what that $7,500 thing did.
I go back to the days when Texas Instruments made one of the first calculators and people were paying $60 for it.
Yeah.
And then you could buy it for $2. You probably buy it for 50 cents now.
I just get my phone to do it. You know,
there you go. Now you get your phone to do it. It's crazy. Hey, Clerks 3 is coming out. They're making Clerks 3.
I love Kevin Smith. You know, I don't own a DVD player anymore, but I still own every single DVD that Kevin Smith has put out. It's just one of my weird fascinations. I'm excited to see it.
Don't throw those DVDs away. I told you last week, VHS, Back to the Future, $65,000.
That's different time.
There's certain things you shouldn't throw away.
It's a different time, though.
Different time, exactly. All right, TJ. So let's go ahead and sign off. Let everybody get back to their day. We're taping this on Friday, beyond this weekend. Again, I will not be in the Octagon this weekend, but I will be there for the big show on ABC next week. Very big show.
That's a big one.
Very, very. Well, they're all big. God, they've all been incredible.
I know. But network TV is always a big one.
Yeah, totally. All right, everybody. TJ, thank you. Have a great week. We'll be back next week with another exciting guest. Thank you, Max Crosby. What a pleasure having that gridiron warrior on the show. Such a good guy. Such a good guy. All right, everybody, set your goals, write them down. So when you set on that golden brick path to your future, you become and be the best you can be. Perform at your best, whether you're number 1, 2, 10, or the champion of the world. If inside you know that you did your best, then you're winning. And that's what we're all about in It's Time Radio. Have a great week. Enjoy, everybody. Stay safe. Be a sphere of influence and a role model. Excuse me. Be a role model to your sphere of influence. Treat everybody with respect. This country needs all of us to treat each other with respect, please. Big cheers, no fears forever, or at least until next week. Buffer out.
Have you ever wondered how to say good morning in Italian? Or what is goodbye in French? You can ask Alexa. Just say, what is happy birthday in German? Or how do you say hello in Japanese? Do you want to know how to say I love you in Spanish? Ask Alexa and start learning a new language today.